And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is finding inspiration. Each of today's segments is designed to help us find inspiration in the world around us. This next segment is something new. It's a call-in segment. Several of my listeners have requested this, so I'm going to throw open the line to callers to express whatever's on their mind. We'll look at any and all topics that you want to tackle. The number that you want to call is 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we'll be giving away four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Of course, you could have two sandwiches and two salads, or one sandwich and three salads. However you want to use those coupons, you can win those if you call in using that number. This segment, What's on Your Mind Ventura County, as I said, is a new segment every Tuesdays. You get to turn the tables on me. Instead of my interviewing a guest, you get to call in and interview me with whatever topic's on your mind. The call-in number is 639-0008. Call in and share whatever you've got going on in your mind, whether it's a national, international, statewide, or local topic. I want to hear from you. What's going on in the world right now that's good for you? Call in and share it. What's going on that's got you puzzled or frustrated? Call in and share that too. No topic is off limits. If you're a regular listener, you know I address a wide range of subjects on the show, and that's because you, my listeners, want to learn more about the world that's going on around them. Now's the time to call in and discuss these topics in more detail. The call-in number is 805-639-0008. To get the ball rolling, I have the giveaway, so now let's have somebody call in and you can win four free sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. I'll take the third caller at 639-0008. Remember, you don't have to go on the air to call in to win the prize at 639-0008. First topic for today, it's because it's topical on everybody's mind, is the economy. Is the economy as bad as it seems? Monday, we had a 635-point sell-off on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That is a 5.7 drop in one single day. That makes yesterday the sixth worst drop in Dow Jones history. Now, the good news, I guess, if there is any good news coming out of that, is that yesterday didn't make the top five worst drops in Dow Jones history. So keep some perspective on this, if you will, please, because yesterday's drop, though it was big, wasn't even 6%. In 1987, we had a 24% drop in one day in October of 1987. So yesterday's, while it was big, was not as bad as some that we have seen in the past. Now, part of the drop yesterday is part of this whipsaw effect we've been having on the Dow Jones over the last 5 days in the stock markets. Intraday on Thursday and intraday on Friday, the trading saw swings of 200, 300 points up and down. So this is all part of a larger cycle that we are seeing as the stock markets move forward. Now, what makes yesterday's drop so remarkable? Well, it's not the magnitude of the drop. As I said, it's not the biggest drop that we've ever seen. What makes it remarkable is that yesterday's drop happened exactly 1 year after Ben Bernanke announced the end of the Federal Reserve Bank would end quantitative easing too. So 1 year to the day after the end of quantitative easing 2 is announced, we have the drop. Is it a coincidence? Probably partially a coincidence, but it's not all coincidence because, as you know, if you listen to this show, the economy has been propped up by the government for the last several months. So pundits who are analyzing yesterday's drop look at the convergence of several factors for the reason for yesterday's drop. The first one was the Standard & Poor's downgrade of the U.S. creditworthiness to AAA+ from AAA. That happened on Friday after trading hours at 6 o'clock at night on Friday. That was one of the causes that the pundits saw. Another was European banking industry and its instability. Europeans are going through bank stress tests, similar to the U.S. banks went through in 2008. The European banks are going through that right now. And there's a lot of doubt, a lot of uncertainty as to how the banks are going to fare as they go through these stress tests. Related to the European banks is also the European sovereign debt issue in countries like Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Ireland. So many of these European banks have their money invested in these countries, and there's some question as to what's going to happen to that money when and if any of these countries fail. And then there's the threat of inflation and an economic slowdown in China. That's right. Late last night, China announced its inflation figures, which the world has been watching, to see what the world's second largest economy is doing. Remember, it's the only economy that has been going gangbusters during the first half of this year, so all eyes were on China. But if anything, if you look at all of these factors, if there's any lesson that comes out of this, is the fears that we're worried about that all of these pundits cited are all global fears. The United States is not the only participant, and then that the United States is not alone in this world economy as well. Bad news is, over the past few days has caused economic forecasters to downgrade their growth predictions for the United States GDP. The growth predictions have been downgraded to about 1.7% GDP growth. That's down from 3.5% GDP growth. That sounds very, very negative. In fact, all of that news sounds very negative. However, keep in mind that the corporate earnings for this past earnings season were terrific, which means that companies out there continue to sell goods and services, they continue to make money, they continue to show profit, even in this economy. That's got to be good for something. So the fundamental question about the downgrade yesterday, and particularly the deep drop in the stock market, has to do with the S&P downgrade of credit. S&P is one of three credit rating agencies. Fitch and Moody are the other two agencies. All three of these credit agencies back in the day mistakenly ranked all of the collateralized debt obligations as AAA rated, the highest rating that you can possibly get. All three of those agencies missed that call by a mile. And it was partly the bad rating by these credit rating agencies of the CDOs that started the economic collapse that we are now suffering through today. So the S&P downgrade of the U.S. creditworthiness to AA+, down from AAA, is an interesting one. First of all, it puts the U.S. creditworthiness lower than countries such as France, at least according to Standard & Poor's. What's interesting is, if you look at France, France has a higher debt-to-GDP ratio than the United States does. And yet, S&P ranks France's creditworthiness higher than that of the United States. Now, we've had some outtakes from Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner that I was going to play. Unfortunately, technical difficulties don't permit us to do that. But here's what Timothy Geithner had to say. He was looking at that, and he said that the S&P downgrade was mistaken, grossly mistaken, and badly placed. Now, hearing Timothy Geithner say that is an interesting observation, too, because clearly Timothy Geithner has a stake in all of this. He was the Treasury Secretary, and under his watch, the first time in history, the U.S. has lost its AAA rating. So it doesn't surprise anybody that Timothy Geithner would be calling into question Standard & Poor's judgment on downgrading our debt to AA+. By the way, how many of you voted for Timothy Geithner in the last election? Of course, none of you did, because he's an appointed official who's now trying to backtrack or even second guess Standard & Poor's decision about a credit rating, because it was under his watch that these things went down. CNBC did a wonderful interview yesterday with the CEO of Standard & Poor's, a man by the name of Devin Sharma, and he tried to rationalize the decision to Maria Bartiromo about the Standard & Poor's downgrade. Again, we wanted to play that clip, but the internet is giving us fits. So let me just summarize what he said. He said that the recent political wrangling in the House of Representatives and the Senate produced a debt reduction plan that is not satisfactory to Standard & Poor's to help us lower the overall debt in the United States, and that for those reasons, S&P decided late on Friday night to downgrade to AA+, the United States credit worthiness. Now, Maria Bartiromo follows up with a wonderful question and asks the pointed question, does that mean that Standard & Poor's ratings are now based on government debate and government policies more so than the credit rating of an actual country? To which he said, well, they're sort of related, they're intertwined. Depending on what Congress does, that will determine how much debt gets reduced, and how much debt gets reduced, of course, does directly impact the credit worthiness. However, Maria's question and his answer to Maria's question clearly points out that Standard & Poor's was looking at least equally at the political debate that was going on as much as it was looking at the economics behind that. And it makes you wonder how much of this S&P lowering is either politically motivated or, at the very least, does not look at the picture from an economic, more biased, unbiased point of view. Clearly, politics is weighing more heavily into that decision about creditworthiness than most business people would like. Now, in his answer, Mr. Sharma referred to President Obama's speech yesterday. President Obama came out and gave a 10-minute speech about the downgrading of the United States' creditworthiness. Again, I would have loved to have played that clip, but suffice it to say that the big outtake from that clip, the one that was played on all the news services, was President Obama saying that the United States is and always has been a AAA-rated country, the greatest economy in the world. Now, granted, that's only about a 10-second soundbite out of a 10-minute speech, so it's hardly the entire speech. However, it's the soundbite that the administration wants to be heard about this situation. My opinion, President Obama's speechwriters should be fired for that statement. President Obama's judgment on delivering such a speech should also be questioned. In what ways does this represent any kind of confrontation to the realities of the situation? President Obama coming on the air and saying, we've always been a great country, we will always be a great country, how does that address the realities of the situation? In what ways does this make Americans feel better about the Standard & Poor's downgrade? In what ways does this make the government more responsive to the Standard & Poor's downgrade? Remember, if President Obama says we're AAA rated, always have been, always will be, well, then that certainly must be the case, because clearly President Obama knows more about that credit rating than a credit rating agency that's been around for over 100 years. President Obama was led to lead the United States, and the question is, where's the leadership on this particular issue, the downgrading of the debt cycle? Does the wrangling in Congress show a lack of leadership on the part of the president? Does it show a lack of leadership on the part of the Senate or the House of Representatives? Is this, in fact, the Tea Party exerting its influence over U.S. politics? Call in. If you've got an opinion about this, we'd love to hear it. The number here is 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. You as a voter, did you elect a Tea Party candidate to represent you? Is Lois Capps or Elton Gallagher a Tea Party member? No. What about Barbara Boxer or Dianne Feinstein? Are they Tea Party members? The answer is no. So what about our other elected officials? Did you elect your congressman or senator to govern, to display this sort of lack of leadership in the face of the greatest economic crisis that we've had since the Great Depression? If you elected them to govern, is this the type of governing that you voted for? Did you vote for them to panic when the financial markets were playing this game of chicken? Did you vote for them to lower the value of your 401k or other retirement plan? Because that's exactly what you got under their leadership. Did you vote for them to fill the newspapers, the radio, the TV, the news about worry about the economy, to fill it up with concerns? Is that what you voted for them? Did you vote for them to disgrace the United States on the world stage? Did you want them to project the impression that we are the greatest nation on earth? Or did you elect them to project that we are a nation that governs dysfunctionally? Give us a call at 639-0008 if you've got a thought about that. All right, so Wall Street is Wall Street. That's one thing, but Wall Street is not Main Street, completely different. Things that are happening on the street may be entirely different than things that are happening on Wall Street. So, are we seeing any differences in our lives at the local level? Ask yourself this, is Ventura County better off than it was 3.5 years ago? If not, the big question is, what are you going to do about it? Did you do anything about this? Are you taking any steps on a proactive basis to change things up here in the United States? At the very least, take a look at this situation, and when voting comes around in November, you want to take the time to go out and exercise your vote.